It's not what we're battling against, but principalities and powers, and the authority that you have to tear down those powers are are mighty through the power of God. So when we invoke him in the situation, everything starts to change. And, you know, there's been some that gone out and given some people a hard time. We've had them walking down the street, you know, and say, you're wrong, you're lying, blah, 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 blah. They come up with all these kind of things that they say. And this is where we just encourage them in the Lord. We just tell them we're praying for them, that he loves them. God's got a plan for your life. And that's the way we respond to them, with just pure love. And not to try to get into an argument of who wins. Because then everybody loses when we get screaming and yelling and fighting on the street. Amen? We're there to represent the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, when we speak with the love of God. And I really believe they've cut their hours since last year, and that's a good thing. Amen? And we're just going to keep on praying until they don't have any hours over there. That's what we're going to do. We're just going to stay at it. And like Pastor Tom said, just sign up for an hour. Whatever times that you're off, sign up for an hour on different days. And because we believe that God hears and answers our cry. And therefore, we're going to shut it down. Amen?
Amen.
Good. Well, if you have your Bibles, open up to John chapter 15. Seems to be a common thread that the Lord won't let me get away from. But in John chapter 15, you know, I want to bear fruit is really such a, you know, this time and this season in America for the church. I really believe that this is something that God is putting his thumb on. The worship, yes, I think that some of the worship that's been out there. But if we just sat and went around the room and say, what are you thankful for? And went one after another. That's some of the highest praise there is. Amen?
Amen?
Reminding each other of what God has done. Not a song that somebody wrote that stirs us up or gets us, you know, to a place where we really just join in. And those are amazing and those are wonderful. But as we start to speak of what God has done, we start to declare and proclaim it more than just on a Sunday morning. Because it'd be easy to go around inside here. Amen? It'd be real easy for people, and there'd be some that wouldn't stop proclaiming about the goodness of God and all the things that he's done all week, or all month, or all year. But I really believe that this is a time that God wants us outside the four walls proclaiming the same thing, worshiping him by proclaiming him. Worshiping him by speaking to everyone we come in contact with about how amazing he is, what he has done, what he's about to do, what his promises are. There's a number of different directions that we can go. Amen?
Amen.
And this is what we're being trained for. That's what the church is for, training and equipping for the work of the ministry, which is outside the four walls, right? Because looking around, I don't see any of you is really ministering right now. But I believe that once you walk outside these doors, the whole world is a place for you to proclaim his goodness, his mercy, and his grace. And I believe that the gift on the inside of each and every person here is more powerful than all of the wickedness in heavenly places. I believe it's more powerful what's on the inside of you than anything that the world can come up with. I believe the Christ on the inside of you is the one that's able to be able to use you when you simply say, hi, and it changes someone else's life. That's how powerful you are when you start to speak because of the Christ on the inside. And so from that platform and that thought process, that you are mighty. Tell your neighbor, say, you are mighty. So many times people come in and their first comments, whether it's counseling or whether just talking about things going on in life, the first thought is what isn't going right or what the struggle is. And that's exactly where the enemy wants to keep everyone. He wants to keep everyone talking about what didn't go right, what's not going right, because he knows that if you start to say what is right, what is right, what is right, in every situation, the whole situation starts to change. Whenever you start to say what is right, according to the word of God, everything starts to change in that situation. Doesn't matter how big, doesn't matter how bad, doesn't matter how long. I don't care how long it's been going on. When you start to say what he said, everything starts to change. Amen? And that's where we're going to have to stand. We're going to have to get to a place where your feelings don't consume. Because your feelings aren't going to change the person sitting next to you. They might try to manipulate the person sitting next to you. Isn't that what we do? Sure, many times, because we're hurt, because we're sad, because we're happy. Whatever it is, depends a lot sometimes on the people sitting next to us. But we've got to be that generation, and I believe it's a generation of ingathering into the kingdom of God. I believe what God's stirring up around our nation and around the world is that there's an ingathering that's coming that's going to move people into a place to be able to receive the crops. I'm trying to think of another word, but the harvest, that's the word I was thinking of. I believe that he's setting you up, just like the word that God gave you today. He's setting you up to receive a harvest. He's already prepared the harvest. Do we agree? Yeah. Right. You're not the preparer. Some plow, some plant, some water, and some reap. And I believe that it's a time of reaping for the church, because I believe that the world is ready for those that would proclaim the truth in every situation. And so if you have your Bibles in John chapter 15, verse 15, we're going to start there and just go down to 17. He said, "No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing." Anybody have any idea what the master is doing right now? I believe that he's preparing for a harvest. Amen? Amen. And that's around the world. That is around the world, because we're hearing it from every country that we've got people in, that God is opening up doors. God is setting the hearts. God is causing people to come and ask questions when people don't even go. They never knew him before. And people just walking up and asking questions because they're so hungry. They're so hungry and looking for truth. And if we'll speak truth, then they'll start looking for us. And that's the key. If we start speaking truth, they're going to start looking in a greater way for you and for me. Because every situation that you get into, we're going to have to say what he says. But we know what the Lord is doing. He said it's his desire to pour the Spirit of God out upon all the earth. Amen? Amen. As the waters covers the earth, he is going to pour the Spirit of God out. And the Spirit has one thing to do, the same thing that Jesus did, draw all men to the Father. Same thing, setting people free, bringing them into a right relationship back into the sheepfold. It goes on to say, "But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit and that your fruit would remain, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give to you. This I command you, that you love one another." And that word choose, it means to make or to provide thyself a master, to get thyself a companion. And God said that I chose you. Tell your neighbor, say he chose you. Tell your other neighbor, say he chose you. All right. It was his choice. He chose you before you chose him. Amen. Right. Because he said he chose you before the world was formed. Right. He chose you long ago. That means it didn't matter what you've done, what you have, where you've been, how tall, how small, how short, how big, how educated, how uneducated. None of that stuff mattered. He didn't choose you because of any of those. But he chose you because of his great love towards you. And he knew that no matter who it was that he chose, if they would agree that they have been chosen by God, then he can change the world. With the tallest, the shortest, the youngest, the oldest, none of it mattered if Christ was on the inside of them. And that was God's plan. And we said last week that Jesus rejoiced when he said, "Look at it, you've chosen the simple things to confound the wise." The plan of God coming to fruition. Jesus looking at it and saying, "This is amazing. They don't have to have anything or know anything. They can be tax collectors or they can be fishermen." But once Christ comes in, once the Spirit of God starts to come, the whole world starts to change before him. How beautiful is that? How powerful is that? See, so it's not who you're sitting next to. It's who lives on the inside of us. We've got to get away from the professionalism of it. You're the professional. You're the professional preacher because you're going to preach to people that we never met. You're the professional prayer warrior because when you pray, God hears and answers your cry. See, the issue is you're the professional evangelist. So when you go out and speak, many are gathered to the King, not to you. We're not gathering them to ourselves, not gathering the Rock Solid Church. Rock Solid Church is just a short-term entity, a part of the kingdom. Amen? We're just a body of Christ. We put a name on it, but the reality is it's just the kingdom of God that meets here to train and equip so that we can go out and proclaim the truth, and no matter where we walk, harvest comes in. And our whole thought process has to be wrapped up in that. You did not choose me. Because that's where arrogance comes in, huh? Oh, yeah, I chose you, God. I'll follow you. Yeah. All right, you good? How many Christians are walking around? Yeah, I accepted them. And that's the end of it. But I don't believe that we're here just to accept him. I believe that we're here so that we could serve him. He said, you didn't choose me, but I chose you. I chose you. I made a decision that I could use you anywhere in the world and you could change people's lives. God said, if you'll just walk with me and you'll proclaim my word wherever we go together, change is coming. I know for sure. I guarantee you. Ever since January 1st, 1987, every single day there's been change in my life. There needs to be a lot more. But every single day there's some type of change that has come into my life, all because of Christ. And I pray that that's yours too. Every day God does something different. God adds to, and maybe he's grinding off. Maybe he's trying to get rid of. Sometimes it's harder to get rid of than it is to add. Amen? Oh, yeah, you look at these hoarders. Right? You walk into their house and it's like, oh, brother, where do you start? How high? The boxes are to the ceiling. There's a little path that goes along. And then tell them, hey, well, let's just clear this out. What? Don't touch that. I know where everything is. And they don't want you dabbling in their stuff because it took them 30 years to put all this junk in a house that they'll never use and somebody have to burn when they're dead. But how many of us have junk that we have allowed into our lives? We have stacked it up in our minds. Our emotions are connected to what happened rather than to the kingdom or the King of glory. And therefore, when someone comes in, when the Holy Spirit comes and says, you got to lay that down. What? Yeah, we got to get that out of there. We got to rub that off. That barnacle is causing you to, it's causing you to bring division. It's causing you to look at yesterday rather than tomorrow. It's causing your pain to be proclaimed rather than my victory. God said, I want to work that off because I want the truth to be proclaimed from your life everywhere you go. No matter who you meet, if you'll speak my word, it'll change their lives. If you speak about your pain, oh brother, I know. Agreement is not always a good thing. You meet somebody, how's it going? Oh, it's horrible. Oh, I know, I feel the same way. What kind of victory are we going to lead them in? I don't want to go near you. If you're going to sit there and whine and sniffle and complain, tell me everything is terrible, I got other things to do. I'm going to tell you what the Word of God says, amen? Because there's a way out. There's a way through. And it's not about just sitting there and getting everybody to come in and join in. Hey, everybody, come on in. Let's join together and complain about how bad life is with God. That won't build you a very big church. Well, it might. It might, because a whole bunch of whining, sniveling people love to get together, right? Misery loves company. But I... Yeah, they probably won't. But as we walk in the truth, and as that victory comes in, God says, hey, I want that. I want that what happened yesterday. We don't stop that. I chose you. And if I'm in you, now all things have been made possible. If you'll agree with me and start to say what my word says, then guess what? We're going to change. I chose you, remember? I did not make a mistake. Tell your neighbor, say, you're not a mistake.
Not a mistake.
How many people are walking around out there, not in here, that feel like they're a mistake? How many? I can't tell you how many people I've talked to where they said, yeah, I was the mistake. What damage that stupid thing does. That one comment, how much damage does that do to a child when they hear that? You're not wanted. You're a mistake. You're the worst thing that ever happened to me. Now, I guarantee you, with this many people in the room, some of you have heard that. But I want you to know it's not true. It's not true. Tell your neighbor, say, I am not a mistake. Tell your other neighbor, say, neither are you. See, we've got to get to a place where no matter what has happened, I am not less than. I am greater than, right? We had the little triangles, the less than and the greater than, right? You got to know you're on the end of the triangle or that little, whatever it was called, I forget the name of, huh? That's the technical term? The alligator mouth. All right. Survey set. But you're on the greater end, not the less than. The enemy wants you to think that you're on the less than. But wait a minute, didn't God choose you? God chooses the the least and makes them the greatest. He said, you want to be great in the kingdom of God, you've got to become the least of all or the greatest servant of all. Some people think, oh yeah, that means I'm the least. I could, you know, I fit in. Listen, once Jesus Christ comes in, you go from that failure to victor. You go from that lost to found. You go from that orphan to adopted or grafted in. And each one of us are grafted in. Why? Because he chose you. Ah, he's a good chooser, isn't he? He's a really good chooser. I look around this room, I think he chose the best for right here in Hudson. That's what I think. I think he chose the best. Tell your neighbor, say, that's me.
That's me.
I love the humility in this room. That's amazing. I want you to know there's something that is so beautiful about you. There's something so beautiful and so powerful. Oh, Pastor, there's nothing beautiful about me. Once again, you lie against the truth. Because the Bible says you're beautiful in the eyes of your God. Amen. Gentlemen, I'm sorry, but you're beautiful too.
Amen.
All right? Yeah, you're strong, you're handsome, you're debonair, all of those things. But I want you to know, you're beautiful. And we're very, very grateful for you. He said, I chose you in verse 16, and I appointed you that you would go and bear fruit. This is Jesus speaking. He's speaking this to the body of Christ. Look it, I'm going to be able to use you in such an extraordinary way, but I need you to go and bear fruit. I need you to go and open up your mouth about the things of God. I don't care when you talk. I'm not interested in when you talk about your job, when you talk about sports, when you talk about whatever you're into, hobbies. He said that those are wonderful things, but when you start to speak, to those who have never heard about me, I want you to bear fruit. And in order to bear fruit, you're going to have to speak my word. Because my word never returns void, but always accomplishes that which I've sent it to do. Amen? So therefore, when you say, hey, you don't have to be lonely any longer. What? What do you mean I don't have to be lonely? You don't have to be lonely anymore. Says who? Let me introduce you to the one that says he'll never leave you. Let me introduce you to the one that said he'll go before you and be your rear guard. Let me introduce you to the one that said he'll come alongside of you and he'll carry you through the deepest, darkest valleys of your life. We'll never be without him. Let me tell you about him. And that's all he's saying. If you're going to bear fruit. Yeah, but you don't know what kind of life I've lived. I'm not interested in the kind of life that you lived. I'm interested in the kind of life that God promised. Because he promised you something greater than you've ever experienced before. And can I tell you, even if you're in Christ, I believe that there's more. I believe that there's a place that he wants to take you that's more intimate than what you're enjoying right now. I believe that he's taking you to a place where you're more that's more powerful than what you're walking in right now. I believe that there's a place he's trying to bring you, but he's going to have to shave off some stuff. He's going to have to grind off some stuff. We're going to have to stop thinking about the reminding that he chose us. He says, and that your fruit will remain, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. And you know what? We like to take that scripture all by itself. We like to pull that one off and say, yes, whatever you ask the Father in my name, that he may give you. But when we look at what the scripture is saying, when you go and bear fruit, what happened to Peter and them guys when they started to proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord, right? In Acts chapter 5, they went to prison for preaching Christ. But guess what? What they needed, God provided when they were in prison. You see, they didn't go without anything. What did he do? He released them from prison. Whatever you have need of when you build the kingdom. Not whatever you have need of when you sit back and do nothing. It's not what he's called us to do. You're in the wrong house. This is not the house of sit back and do nothing. VeggieTales. We are the pirates who don't do anything. We watch that many times with our kids. All right? You are not the pirates that don't do anything. You are the children of God that serve and build the kingdom of God. You're the ones that are filled with the power of God, so that when you start to speak, the very life of God starts to infuse the person that you come in contact with. And everything starts to change. Whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he'll give it to you. It's to encourage the perseverance in the work he chose and called you to. To encourage the perseverance in the work that he chose you to. Right? We all agree that there's two churches in America, right? The American church, and they're dying real fast. And then the church in America, right? There's two different ones. There's ones that want to sit back, tell the pastor, you do this, 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 and this. This is how you preach. One pastor we were talking to yesterday, and the church that he's in, and they said, listen, you always tell us when we leave, go tell somebody about Jesus. We're not evangelicals. Don't say that anymore. That's not what we do. That's the American church. That we dictate what the pastor does. You guys just sit there and pull my strings. And then my mouth goes open and closed and says exactly what you want to hear. What the itching ears want to hear. This is the American church and what it has come to. He said, I can't do that. He said, yes, you can. He said, we want all your scriptures written out. We want them all. We want all of them read before you start preaching. That's not what I do. I read a couple, and then I've got some other ones that I built in. Well, we'll get somebody else to read all your scriptures for you. Control, manipulation, all of those things that happen. It's foolishness. But that's a church that is dwindling. But then there's an American church, and that one is starting to come alive. That one is starting to grow because they're starting to believe that we are a chosen generation and that we are to minister to our generation. You've only got one shot. And listen, if you're, let's see, what's half of 76? That'd be 35, that'd be 36, right? Or so, somewhere in there. 38? 76, yeah, 38, right? Yeah, I was fairly good in math, but... Right, so if you're over 38, you're more than halfway there. Because the average American lives to 76. All right? So if you're over 38, you better get busy with the things of God. Because you're running out of days that God is giving you. All right? Not to sit back and say, well, I'll just do whatever I want. And then when I'm at the right place, then I'll serve God. I want you to know today is a day of salvation. Today is a day of serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? He chose you for this day. You don't know what tomorrow brings. He said, don't worry about it. Tomorrow, take care of itself. Today has enough trouble of its own. Amen? Right. But you don't have troubles. Why? Because you've overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. Amen? Right. We're going to go through trials and tribulations, but they don't own us. We're owned by the love of God, by the King of God, by the Spirit of God who lives on the inside of us. We've been paid for with a price that is complete. Nothing else consumes us but Him. Nothing. Nothing. Tell your neighbor, say, look at your feelings don't consume me. Tell your other neighbor, say, your opinion doesn't consume me. We are consumed by the love of God, the power of God, the mercy, the grace of God, and the Spirit of the living God. Amen? The reason why he wanted to, the scripture said that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. See, it's for walking through difficult situations and discouragements. You know, you're going to be in need of divine assistance. You're not going to be able to do what God's called you to do in the flesh. If you've been doing it without the Spirit of God and without the Word of God, you've been walking in the flesh. It's that simple. Amen? And we're not going to add to the kingdom of God walking in the flesh. We're going to have to be those that walk in the Spirit because we're sons and daughters of God. Amen? So we're going to have to walk in the Spirit. It's the Spirit of God that gave some of you words in here this morning. I really believe that. The Spirit of God that gave you words in here when you came in this morning, and some of you didn't share those words that God gave you to the person he gave them for. You're going to have to step out in faith. You're going to have to take a leap of faith. You're going to have to make a decision. Lord, I'm pretty sure that was you. And prophetic words are for edification, exhortation, and comfort, right? If it's a corrective word, come and see me. Write it down. We'll discuss it. We're not going to go around and you're going to start correcting everybody. All right? That's the Holy Spirit's job, amen? Not yours. Tell your neighbor, say, that's not your job. Tell your other neighbor, say, that's not your job anymore either. All right? Because it's easy to go around and tell people what they're doing wrong. It's easy to go around and complain all the time. We got that one down pat, don't we? Oh, that one's a piece of cake. Hey, let's get together. You know how big a group we could get together and hurry? We're all going to complain in our group. Come to my house. We're all going to complain today. Really? We're just going to let it all out. And we're going to spend the whole night complaining. We'd have a great big group. Right? Everybody would come. Yeah. And you'd have a whole bunch of people cheering you on. Yeah. Yeah. God said, I want you to go out and build, not tear down. He said, I want you to be the answer, not the problem. He said, I'm going to give you power for every single situation you're going to get into. You're going to ask, and no matter what the need is. They were locked up in prison. They prayed and they cried out and they started to worship, chained to a wall. The Spirit of God came, opened the doors. They walked out. What'd they do? Go preaching again. Then what happened? They got arrested again. No matter what they did. And then God supplied. Who did he supply the second time when they got arrested? He supplied Gamaliel. Because then Gamaliel comes in and he said, hey guys, hang on a second. Hang on. If this is of man, it's going to fail. But if it's of God, you're going to fight against God? You'll lose. You'll lose. So this is about allowing him to have his way in our lives. So when we ask, and he said, I'm going to meet that need, it's not so you can just sit around and do nothing. All right? It's so that when you're building the kingdom of God, no matter what kind of a jam you get into, he's going to make a way of escape. He's going to supply somebody to come alongside of you to strengthen you in a time of need. Anybody ever had a time of need? Yeah. I have. The rest of you lying dogs didn't put your hands up. This is the house of God. You're supposed to be honest. How long, Lord? How long? 21 years. 21 years. It requires no faith to learn something. It requires no faith to teach something. But it does require faith to make a disciple. It takes faith to make disciples. Because to get people to do things that they don't want to do, God's good at that, isn't he? That's why you're here on a Sunday morning and not sleeping in, because it was good sleeping weather this morning. Amen? We had them windows open, a little breeze coming in. I was under them covers. I woke up last night. I had a dream, and I woke up, and I think I woke you up, didn't I? Oh, you weren't sleeping? Okay, but did I wake up? Okay. I didn't know if I was dreaming or if I was awake, you know? It was one of those things, but I was with a whole bunch of people. They were all in the line, and they were all not paying attention when they were walking. They were getting ready to walk off this bank. And I woke up in my dream anyway, and I just remember waking up. I jumped up out of bed trying to stop everybody from walking off the end of that bank. And I couldn't have them back up because they just came up a hill, and then everybody would fall down the bank, and I wasn't sure what to do. But I woke up in a panic, and then I couldn't go back to sleep. But, you know, when we're standing there with the Lord, when we're in that place, sometimes he wants to speak things to us, and he does it through dreams. He does it through vision. He's preparing you for something that's coming. Can I encourage you, whenever you have a dream, get up quickly and write it down. Write it down, because he wants to speak through us in dreams and visions. Amen? Right. Your dreams have significance. Your dreams have significance, and you need to start writing them down, because we're going to start to see a pattern of what God is starting to show you and the direction that he wants you to go in. But in order to build relationships or disciples, in order to build disciples, you're going to have to disciple them by faith, because God is going to give you people that you weren't thinking about or looking for. The ones that you were hoping for, that's probably not the ones that you're going to get. The person that's like you, thinks like you, is nice like you, somewhat. All right? The one that likes to do the things that you do, that's probably not the one that God's going to give you someone that's going to help you die. He's good like that. He brings people alongside of you that are completely different than you. And you say, Lord, what is this all about? And he says, you're just right for that person. Why? Yeah. We don't have anything in common. God said, you have me, don't you? That's right. And that's all I need. Yeah. So what he wants to do is going to look different than what you think. And God has a way of getting people to do things they don't want to do. He's amazing like that. There was one lady told me, my son will never go in a mission field with you, ever. I said, we'll see. She said, oh, yeah? I said, yeah, because I'm praying. And I'm going to take all your kids in the mission field. You ain't taking my kids. The next year, I took her son in the mission field. My God's bigger, and he gets people to do things they wouldn't normally do. Amen? That's why he wants to get you to do things you wouldn't normally do. Go out there and stand for an hour praying for babies to live and not die. That's worthwhile, isn't it? It's worthwhile generations being wiped out because of convenience. And there's women that are over there and men that are over there that need to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. The ones that work there, you're the answer. Oh, but God, I can't do that. You can with me, because all things are possible. Yeah, but Lord, I don't even like them. I didn't ask you to like them. I said to love them. Yeah, but Lord, you don't understand. I'm a very busy person. He said, yeah, but this is what I've called you to do, and I've chosen you for this. So who takes precedence here? Is it your schedule or my schedule? Is it your plans or my plans? Is it your life or is it mine that you have given me? In order to build a disciple, the person that's discipling is going to have to be placed in the true vine, united with Christ by faith. Amen? And then we must not think to lead an idle life, but one of labor. God did not call you to sit and idle through life. What good is a car if you leave it just idling in neutral? Who wants that one? Oh, it's a brand new one. It's a beautiful 2021 Aston Martin. Very nice car. But it only idles. It doesn't go anywhere. I'll sell it to you for $75,000. It could be yours. It could be in your driveway. It'll look very nice. How many want one? Exactly. What good are they? They're useless. That's what happens if a church decides to do nothing with what God gives them when he gives us all power and all authority. He did not say we're allowed to sit idly by and do nothing. Because you know what the church looks and sounds like when it sits idly by and does nothing? Empty. And there's a lot of them that are. But if you'll labor with the Lord through the power of the Holy Ghost, God's going to bring a harvest through you. Tell your neighbor, say, through you.
Through you.
We can't wait until the work is brought to you. You cannot wait for someone else to do it for you. You can't wait for someone else to bring people into you. It's not what God said, because you're going to reach people different than me. Amen? My job is not to round up people and then send them to your house. That's not my job. My job is to train and equip people and send them out of the house. That's it. Whether it's to plant a church, whether it's missionaries, or whether it's to start another small group. That's what our job is. Amen? Train and equip for the work of the ministry. God's not looking. He said, listen, I want you that you, I appointed you that you would go and bear fruit. You can't bear fruit sitting idly by. The apples are all ripe this time of year. Everybody's out apple picking. Somebody was out there trimming them trees in the spring. Somebody was out there spraying them trees, keeping the bugs off of them. Somebody was out there mowing the grass underneath so you didn't have to wade through grass this tall and pick apples. Somebody else has been laboring for a long time for you to be able to go out and enjoy a couple of hours, pick up some beautiful fruit, and enjoy it, you and your family. There's a whole lot of fruit out there, but somebody's going to have to do some laboring. He said, I chose you for this purpose. He told Adam, take care of the garden. Didn't he? He said, I want you to cultivate it. I want you to take care of it. I'm going to give it to you. God said, I'm going to send people to you, but you're going to have to labor. You're going to have to read your Bible. You're going to have to pray. You're going to have to get some study material so you can go over things and help people grow. You're going to have to take some of your time. Your time. You don't have any time. Your time is not your time. Your time is his. Amen? Right. So everybody take all your phones and watches. We're going to pass around a bag. And we're not going to think about time for a little while, okay? We're just going to stay here. And if we have nothing to go by on time, we're going to stay here. We're going to pray. We're just going to love the Lord. We're going to go back into worship for 27 songs. And we're going to enjoy him. Because your time, and some people are like, oh, dear God, I hope this isn't true. Are you kidding me? Please tell me he's not telling the truth. Because some people already have the rest of their day planned. Can I encourage you? The rest of your day needs to be telling somebody about the King of Glory. The rest of your day needs to be being used as a laborer in the fields. If you feel alone today, if you feel like you're by yourself, get hooked up in a life group. There's one in your area, I'm sure. If you've been in Christ for 10 years, you should have a Bible study at your house. It's real simple. Teaching somebody. You know what COVID did? It shut everything down. Fathers, train your sons. Do a Bible study with your kids. Teach them how to pray. Turn off the television. Let's start to labor. Let's get them to a place that by the time they graduate high school or they're done with college, so many of them when they go into college, it's done. Let's get them to a place where they just walk through strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Why? Because you got locked down and you changed all of your habits and all of the ways that you did things. And now your nights were to sit and encourage your children in the word, to sit and have some time in prayer. Early in the morning, you get up and you prepare something before they go to school. It's so much fun because their minds are so hungry for information. They really are. God's changing this around. He's saying, look, I've got a place prepared. I've got a people prepared. And I'm appointing you. Tell your neighbor, say you. I'm appointing you to go and bear fruit. Nobody gets a pass on this. Nobody. Nobody gets a pass. I don't know enough. You know Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior? Then you know enough. Somebody should hear about that this week. Amen? And that's all it's going to take to open up a conversation. That's all it takes is for you to speak of the goodness of God. And then some of them are going to snarl at you. And you'll say, oh, that was fun. Some of them will say, really? How come you have so much joy? I was reading a book, and one guy, he was talking to this gentleman, and he said, what's wrong with you? He said, my life is miserable. He said, yeah, mine used to be too. He said, what makes you so happy? He said, Jesus. And the guy said, really? Can you tell me more about this? He said, yeah. He said, let's go to your house. Get ready to go to their houses. Amen? Don't invite them to yours. That way you don't have to clean. You don't have to cook. You don't have to prepare nothing. Huh? Isn't that wonderful? Yeah. Go eat their food. Go to their house. Go hang out with them. That's wonderful. Who knows what you're going to be eating, but you don't care because you're a missionary. Amen? Right. So I want to encourage you. Listen, he's prepared you for this time and this season, and it's going to take some labor on our part. Because our lives are not my own. I gave it to him. If you gave your life to your God, stand up this morning. Only if you gave him your life and you said, Lord, I will do whatever you ask me to do according to your word and through the Spirit. I'm telling you, what he has got for you is something incredible. It's incredible. You know why? Because you're incredible because of the Christ that lives on the inside of you. Nothing lacking in you. Time. Nothing defines us but the Word of God this morning. Nothing. There were some men that wouldn't be defined by other people's opinion. One of them was D.L. Moody. He wouldn't go to bed without praying for somebody to come to Christ. Sometimes he was out all night. There was a guy years ago, his name was Jack Coe. You guys can start playing whenever. It was a guy by the name of Jack Coe. He used to run with A.A. Allen and those guys back in the 50s. He had a tent meeting. He went to his first tent meeting. He had been saved for a little while. He was an orphan because his father was a salesman type. And they lived in Arkansas, and Jack and his brother John, they came home to one day, or they're sitting at home one day, and they came in and took all the furniture out of the house. Back in, I don't know, 40s or 50s. Took all the furniture out of the house. The father came home and said, sorry guys, I lost all the money, we're going to move to Texas. So they moved down to Texas. They got down there, the father lost it all again. He said, we're going back to Arkansas. The mother said, I can't do this to the kids. Horrible life that they had. Said, I can't do this to the kids. She put him in an orphanage in Texas. And then him and her went back to Arkansas. After about 3 days in the orphanage, Jack's older brother John escaped out of the orphanage. He was going home to find mom and dad. Got hit and killed by a car. Jack heard about a week later. Falls apart, doesn't know what to do. Now his brother's dead, his mom and dad are gone. He gets older and he gets out of the orphanage. And he comes to know Jesus Christ. Somebody started pouring into his life. That's you. There's a bunch of Jack Coes out there. There's a bunch of men and women that don't have a very good beginning, but by golly, you're the answer. Somebody reached into his life and told him about Jesus Christ. And he got saved, started studying the Word of God. He went to a tent meeting. And he watched A.A. Allen praying for people and cancer being healed. He said, if God can use him, God can use me. And he just started praying for people, and people started getting healed. Why? Because he walked by faith and not by sight. He didn't go by where he came from or who he was. He said, this is what God can do with someone that will agree with him. And then he bought himself a tent, and he started traveling all around America, watching people. And I remember watching the tape years ago, and he reached right up to this one woman. She had cancer on the side of her face. He said, hey, Come up here. He prayed for her. He grabbed the hole. He said, get down, get off of there in the name of Jesus. And that cancer fell off in his hand. And he said, hey, take a look at this. Take a look at that. That stuff can't live on you. You're a child of God. Oh, that the body of Christ would have that kind of faith, that we would stand up and just reach up and grab hold and said, you cannot live where Jesus Christ dwells. But I believe that there's a bunch of young men and women in here that all you have to do is say, I believe God can use me. I believe that God can use, because I believe his word. I believe he can use me. It's all Jack Coe did. He said, I know if God can use him, he can use me. And he just took off reading the word of God, praying, and then praying for people. I want to encourage you. That's who you are. It's who you are. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the body of Christ this morning. I thank you, Father, that as we walk out our lives, Father, you're sending us out. Oh, Lord, what a day to send us out. You said to go on out. I'm sending you out as sheep among wolves, but don't worry, I'm going to meet every one of your needs. I'm going to send you out. You're going to go out, and you're going to train and equip, and you're going to strengthen those that are all around you. I'm going to send you out and transform people's lives through me inside of you. And Father, I thank you for the appointments that are coming today. Lord, that as each one walks out of these doors, Father, we agree and we believe you can use us today. Father, we're prepared. We're going forth, oh God, no longer as slaves, because they don't know what the master is doing, but we know what you're doing. You send us out there to seek and save that which is lost, the same thing you did with your son. Father, we're so thankful that you chose us this morning and that you appointed us to go and bear fruit, that our fruit should remain. And Lord, as we go out to build your kingdom and to prepare and to grab a hold of that fruit or look at it, the one that's ready, the one that's been prepared, the one that you have been working on for a while, give us understanding so that when we see them, we have the right question to ask. That one more might be swept into the kingdom of God. Father, we're not sitting back. We are not those that are going to be lazy or idle. But Father, we're going to be used by you this week. Let faith arise in the name of Jesus in every single person. And let the enemy be scattered. Get out. You have no authority. Father, this day is that day that you have ordained for us to walk in our freedom, so that many more would hear of a loving Savior that washes sins away, sets the captive at liberty, and draws entire families into the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Father, this week is a week where we'll labor the way that you have called us to. Men and women of God standing arm in arm, lifting up those that are hurting, going after those that are in the darkness. Let us go out as light into the world, oh God, not looking left or right, but looking straight ahead, following the commands and the leading of the Holy Ghost. Father, that we would bring you glory this week in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Amen.